I have to give props to Square Enix for their E3 press conference, or what was really a showcase. One that didn't require an in-person audience or live music or men in graphic t-shirts promising you the world. In 30 minutes, yes, 30 minutes, not 60, not 90, or God help us all, 2 hours, Square Enix told the world exactly what it has on the near horizon, all in recorded video form. Sure, Square Enix isn't really a pioneer of this style, Nintendo is, and they deserve all the credit in the world for it, but walking away from watching Square Enix's presentation left me strangely satisfied. On the flip side though, was such a showcase necessary at all when only 10 games are mentioned, 2 of those games are already released, and only 2 of them are new announcements? I'm not so sure. Then again, it's not like this was a real production, and it's not like it took longer than a half an hour to sit through, so in reality, what's there to complain about? This wasn't EA's sequel machine in person, or Bethesda's let's announce 2 games that are coming out in 5 years, if we're lucky. This presentation felt, well, appropriate. I think what you have to respect above all else about Square Enix's upcoming lineup, however, is their diversity. Square Enix is the only third-party publisher that truly, really, and actually has its feet firmly planted in both the Eastern and Western development scenes. And indeed, Nintendo and Sony are the only other 2 entities whatsoever that can stake that same claim. 6 and maybe 7 of the games shown were of Japanese provenance, with The Quiet Man being the only question. The others are Western. It's a nice mix, one that continues to paint a far different Square Enix, and Squaresoft and Enix, really, than many of us grew up with. It makes them a truly dynamic publisher, and with a tight showcase that wastes no one time at a time of year in the gaming industry where no one has any time to waste, I tip my cap to them. Square Enix opened by showing Shadow of the Tomb Raider, the joint collaboration between Crystal Dynamics and Eidos Montreal, launching in mid-September. It looks awesome. From there, the publisher flipped to a more Eastern flavor, showing off Final Fantasy XIV expansions and future support, and Final Fantasy XIV Cross Monster Hunter World, which should be an interesting collaboration between Square Enix and Capcom. From there, Square Enix went back and forth almost to a T between Western and Eastern products, working off of that theme I mentioned just a little earlier, showcasing their global feel and their incredibly eclectic lineup. I think the game I'm undoubtedly most excited about is Dragon Quest XI: Echoes of an Elusive Age, which finally launches in the West in early September. As a big, longtime Dragon Quest fan, needless to say, I'm going to fall down a deep 100-hour-plus hole playing that game. I also have to give a shout-out to Octopath Traveler, the old-school class-based JRPG launching on July 13th on Nintendo Switch. It looks spectacular, and it'll give me a reason to dust off my Switch, which is always a welcome development. And Don't Nod Entertainment's The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, which was actually first revealed at Xbox's awesome press conference yesterday, also has my interest piqued. Don't Nod's story is so interesting. Remember, these were the guys that made Remember Me, which was supposed to be a PlayStation 3 exclusive that Sony dropped mid-development. Capcom published it to little fanfare or critical success, and the studio was left for dead. But then they changed directions, went in a Telltale narrative-type direction, and have found major and well-earned success with their Life is Strange universe. The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit takes place in that same universe, and appears to be a bridge of some sort to the proper upcoming Life is Strange sequel. It launches on June 26th, and it's totally free to boot, so that's pretty cool. If people walk away with 2 lasting impressions of the press conference, though, it'll be from 2 sources, Kingdom Hearts 3 and a combination of Babylon's Fall and The Quiet Man. Kingdom Hearts 3, which finally has a date tethered to it, January of 2019, looks awesome, though I don't really get the series hype, so it's obviously not directed at me. The bigger question is if it'll hit that date. There's literally no reason to believe that it will, if Square Enix's history with Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy is any indication, so I wouldn't get your hopes up. Then again, I'd love to be wrong, and for that game to be in your hands early next year. I just wish I understood Kingdom Hearts more, because every time I see a trailer, I'm left even more confused as to what the hell is going on in that franchise. As for Babylon's Fall and The Quiet Man, these were 2 brief looks at upcoming, somewhat far-off games that are currently under development. Babylon's Fall is a Platinum Games production, which isn't a surprise considering the success this publisher-developer combination found with Nier Automata. All we know about it is that it seems medieval-like and is aiming for launch on PlayStation 4 and PC sometime in 2019. As for The Quiet Man, we know even less about it. The teaser was cool. Being ignorant on Marvel Comics, I actually thought maybe this was finally going to be the reveal of the Avengers game that Crystal Dynamics is working on, but it doesn't appear to be the case. Or maybe it is, I don't know. Don't come to me for comic book information, I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about there. I assume it's just a new IP about a deaf protagonist, but what do I know? What we do know is that like Platinum Games' Babylon Fall, it's coming to PlayStation 4 and PC. Don't worry though, Xbox One got some love too, with Nier Automata finally incoming. I think it's also notable to discuss what wasn't shown during Square Enix's showcase, and we have to start with Final Fantasy VII Remake. Now, by the time many of you see this video, this conundrum might have already been solved. The game, or should I say games, may just appear at PlayStation's presser. But I think all parties agree that Final Fantasy VII Remake's reveal was far, far too early, and I'm not entirely convinced it's ever going to come out at all, if I'm being totally honest. However, its absence didn't surprise me too much, though I know that it'll come as a disappointment to many others. The other absence from my perspective is Final Fantasy XV. You'd think they'd have something new to throw into the mix, an update or a DLC pack or something. I was actually pleased that it was nowhere to be found, though. It's time to move on. Just color me excited that they didn't fall into what was probably a tempting trap by announcing Final Fantasy XVI. Slow and steady wins the race, Square Enix. Let your past transgressions guide you. Unfortunately, Square Enix's scant showing gives me little room to say much more. I think the publisher did exactly what it needed to do with its 30-minute presentation. Show its most immediate games, give a nod to a few games that are being re-released or complemented with some new content, tease just a couple of unknown titles, and get out. Tomb Raider, Dragon Quest XI, Nier Automata Become as Gods Edition, The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, Octopath Traveler, Just Cause 4, and Final Fantasy XIV's updates are all launching in 2018. Kingdom Hearts 3 and Babylon's Fall are apparently launching in 2019. That only leaves one game shown, The Quiet Man, that may fall outside of that window. And for that, I applaud Square Enix. While I think it would have been more effective to show some of these games at first-party press conferences while foregoing this exercise at all, Square Enix did the absolute best they could with the decision they made. I don't feel that those were 30 wasted minutes whatsoever. I wish every E3 conference was that straightforward. Don't you?